You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting MerrittAssembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I hope you are having a wonderful, fantastic, thrilling adventure of a day, living with Jesus as the Lord of your life and having Him lead you victoriously, which is something that He always does. He leads His people triumphantly. And so we are very, very thankful for that. Hey, I want to let you know today about Wyrick Air. Wyrick Air is a great resource here in Brevard County. There are many, many air conditioning and heating companies. Some of them have been around for a long time. Some of them are new to the area. Some of them have come in like a hurricane, and they've got just all sorts of trucks and massive buildings and things like that, which when I was talking with Dennis from Wyrick Air, Pastor Dennis, he said that means that they have a tremendous amount of overhead that they've got to cover when they are providing their services. There's all those different employees in the buildings and the insurance and the liability insurance. I was talking to an insurance agent, and she said, you would not believe how much it costs to insure a commercial vehicle in some of these fields. It wasn't an air conditioning field. It was a different field. She said, but it's very, very expensive. Wyrick Air has been around a long time. They're not fly by night. They don't go around trying to take advantage of their customers. They provide a fair service at a fair price. They handle themselves in a professional manner. They service, they repair air conditioning and heating systems. They can replace those systems when they are exhausted, when they are worn out. They primarily work in residential settings, but do some light commercial work as well. They even provide emergency service for their customers when that happens. And in the summertime, if things go out, that can be an emergency. You don't want to overheat in your house. That is not good. So they strive to provide the best service possible at an affordable price. They're based in Rockledge, Florida. Their service area covers all of Brevard County. Pastor Dennis pastors a church here in Central Florida. He preaches the word, he lives the word, and he brings the values of the word of God to his business. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. That's Wyrick Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H Air. Their license number, CAC-182-1309. They may be a great resource for you for your air conditioning maintenance and upkeep so that you can keep cool during the heat of summer. And we are getting into those very humid days of summer where air conditioning is not a luxury. It's pretty much an essential. So thank you to Wyrick Air for helping us bring the Refresh radio program to you on a weekly basis, however long. they believed in us for a long time now, and we're very thankful for that. Today we're going back to John 5, verse number 41. We're going to read down to verse number 47. It says, Jesus is talking. He said, I do not receive honor from men, but I know you that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? As I was studying and preparing for going through John chapter 5, I went through and studied my commentary and all of that, and it had some interesting things to say. So I want to start off by sharing some of those things with you. Again, this is from a commentary. It's not from me. It says, God's love creates love within man. He said the Jews' self-love was so fixated that they did not respond to God's love. That's a pretty strong statement. It's a everybody, we've got to have some self-esteem, some value for the fact that God has created us, but we are created to be the recipient and a vessel of God's love. That is, the falling in love with Jesus is one of the best things that you can possibly do. There was a commentator by the last name of Barclay, and he asked this question: do we love God, or do we love our ideas about God? And again, this is why the Word of God is so important, is because there's roughly 8 billion different ideas about God, about God's love. But opinions are just opinions unless they are based upon the foundation of God's word. And there are a lot of people who have formed their opinions not based upon the word of God, but upon their experiences, their feelings, what they heard someone say, whether that person had any expertise in the subject or not. And so we need to make sure that we understand God's love from the Word of God. The commentator continues, this is a different commentator, not Barclay. It's impossible to believe God when glory from one another is the focus. And that's what is being discussed here in these passages, that it says, I do not receive honor from men. And he goes on and talks about how can you believe when you receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God. So in verse number 43, it says, I have come in my Father's name and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. There were a lot of different reasons that people rejected who Jesus was and who he claimed to be. Some of the claims had to do with some inferior understanding of his background. They were familiar with where his parents lived, and because many people did not migrate that far away from where they lived, they assumed that his background was different than what it actually was. So when Jesus teaches and they said, we know Mary, we know Joseph, we know the family, where did this man get all of this learning? They were unfamiliar with many of the things that Mary had pondered in her heart. They weren't familiar with the journey from Bethlehem to Egypt and then settling in a different region, because they still were a little unsettled, shall we say, about the threat to the life of Jesus. So they settled in Nazareth and Galilee, and there were people who rejected Jesus' ministry because of where he was from. Galilee was not a major theological hub. when Solomon offered Galilean cities to the king, the foreign king who had supplied the timber and the laborers and all of that, he went to them and he said, these cities are cobble. They are worthless. They're good for nothing. And yet Jesus used that as the hub of his ministry. There were other people who rejected Jesus' ministry because his ministry was a threat to their position of authority and prestige, and they wanted to eliminate him because of that threat. Some people didn't like what he said. Some people didn't like the timing of what he did, when he did it. And so there were a lot of reasons that they rejected Jesus' ministry, but there are Jewish historians that identify over 60 different messianic individuals who claimed to be the Messiah, and they tended to accept them simply on their own declaration, while at the same time rejecting Jesus, his works, his miracles, his signs, his wonders, all of the supernatural things that they saw and were openly known throughout the community, to the point that the king was like, oh, I want to see a miracle that's done by Jesus. It was a curiosity thing. It was more of a novelty. It wasn't because he believed that he was the Son of God. And it goes to point out the double standard that society has. They want to hold one standard for the things that they believe. Well, this is true because I believe it, without any evidence to support it. And yet with all of the evidence supporting the reality of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, the transformed lives that Jesus has brought about, the signs and the wonders, the fulfillment of prophecies and all of that, the archaeological evidence, they want to set all of that aside and say, well, wait a minute, we need a different form of evidence because they reject the validity of it. We talked about that in this passage. Jesus said, you know, if I say something about myself, it's, you're not going to believe it's true. It's, you're going to consider it invalid. And even if it's true, you're going to reject the validity of it. At the same time, they would turn around and a person claimed to be Jesus, and they'll say, we believe you. There's one particular person in history that claimed to be Jesus. They weren't even Christian. And it's evident from their habits. It was their habits were physically self-destructive. It was evident from their relationships. There were many failed relationships. That there was no way that this person represented the perfectly holy Son of God. And yet, even to this day, there are millions of people who follow this person's teaching. Let's look at what it says here. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. People tend to be gullible. You and I, we are not propagating something that is irrational. It's not unsubstantiated. It is a quite rational and reasoned response to the reality of God, the reality of Jesus, and what he can do. Jesus calls us to the highest quality of life that we can have in this world. It may not be the most luxurious life, but it has a life of character, a life of encouragement, a life that is pleasing in the sight of God. We should live that type of life, no matter what other people choose to believe. So verse number 44 says, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? So the problem that this audience had was they were not seeking honor that comes from God. And at the same time, they were seeking honor that came from one another. And the price tag for those two failures was that it made it impossible for them to believe. It had a negative impact on their ability to believe the Word of God and to believe that Jesus was and is who he said he is, who he was, and who he will be. Have you ever stopped to evaluate what some of the things that are going on in your life that impact either positively or negatively your ability to believe? A lot of people say, I just don't believe that. That's a matter of doing. I can't believe that. I won't believe that. And many times it has to do with other factors that are either enhancing or creating a challenging environment for our belief. I will tell you this. In Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith, if you will. So I'm going to read a few verses here for you. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. It's a great chapter, but it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Okay, so faith is substantial and it's evidential. It's evidence. So faith is not irrational. Now, listen to verse number 3. Before we get into discussing Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Isaac and Joseph and Moses and all of the great heroes of faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, before we get into talking about all of those, listen to what it says. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. What it says there is that when we understand that God created everything that there is, and it is a faith position, it means that faith has impacted our thinking to now we are able to believe the things that we are supposed to believe. Becoming a Christian does not mean that you compromised your intellect. It means that your mind begins to function the way that God intended it to function. Okay, so when it comes to the makeup of man, the way that God created us, he created us in his image. He created us body and soul and spirit. The spirit is what's going to live forever. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And then there's the body. So there are a lot of people who do ungodly things with their body that is a manifestation of the spiritual reality that they are dead in their trespasses and sins. It's not that they are dead in their sins because of the things they do with their body. It's the other way around. Because of the spiritual condition, it shows up in the things that we do physically. In the same manner, our mind is negatively impacted, our mental processing is compromised whenever our spirit is not alive in Jesus Christ. Unbelievers think differently than believers. I tell people, don't be surprised when sinners act like sinners. That is perfectly common for them. What should be surprising is when people claim to have a relationship with Jesus, but yet they act like sinners, talk like sinners, think like sinners, do all of the same things that everybody else around them does. That's not indicative of a supernatural life of God dwelling inside of us. When we are alive in Christ, our mind is renewed, we are transformed, and like we talked about in another program, there are new neural pathways that are created to where the things we once considered normal and acceptable, now we find them something that is abhorrent. It's something that we repented of and don't ever want to go back to that way of life again or that way of thinking. So thank God that he gives us the ability to believe because we're seeking the honor of God. We're not seeking the honor of man. Verse number 45, do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, and that's Moses in whom you trust. Okay? Now, I'm going to show you something here interesting. They trusted Moses. They trusted the Mosaic Law. They were constantly trying to use their understanding, their extrapolation of the Mosaic Law to make accusation against Jesus. Okay? He says, you trust in Moses. That's in verse number 45. But then in verse number 46, he says this, but if you believed Moses, they were trusting the law of Moses, but they didn't really believe him. Okay? And all of this starts, he says, you think I'm going to be the one who is standing at your trial before the great white throne of judgment where you're going to give an account. You think I'm going to be the one that is testifying against you. What you need to understand is I'm here offering you forgiveness so that I can be your legal representative and testify and speak on your behalf. That's why I'm here. But you trust in Moses, but you don't believe what he said. And he says this, if you believed him, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. Okay? Moses was going to be the one that was going to be the accusations, the indictments that they would face. They claimed to trust him, but they didn't believe him. And the evidence that they did not believe Moses, Jesus said, was this. Moses wrote about me. And so if you remember from a recent program, we said that when you read the scriptures, we are supposed to read them in such a way that we ask God the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to us in the scriptures. And I believe that there is a great amount of revelation of who Jesus is just in the reading of the word itself. I also believe this, that there's a whole lot of revelation about Jesus that is layered in the Word of God that you and I should never get bored reading the Bible. Oh, yeah, I've read that. Oh, yeah, I've read that. No, I'm telling you, even reading it in 2026, there should be things that we're still understanding about the Word of God. Some people say, well, that's kind of ridiculous. No, it's not. It's perfectly rational because it talks about that in eternity, God is going to spend all of eternity revealing His goodness, His greatness, His holiness. There is so much in the nature of God that it's not God's holding back because He's selfish. It's because we just cannot handle the amount of revelation that there is, and it's going to take more than a lifetime. It's going to take all of eternity. He says, but if you do not believe His writings, how will you believe me? So, a few years ago, I did one of the best things that I have ever done as a pastor for our church. There's a book that the Assemblies of God produces. It's called the Fire Bible. We produce it in different languages around the world, so that believers can grow in their faith. A lot of countries, there are people who do not have a lot of finance. They're not a lot of churches in some countries. And as a result, there can be a lot of error that is going on because people don't understand the Word of God. So we produced this Bible. It's called the Fire Bible. It's basically like a Bible college introductory education in a book. And we took our congregation through all of those different articles. And the very first one that I, the very first lesson that I taught was on the authority of the Word of God. And you've got to have the foundation in the Word. If you don't believe the Bible, it's not that you don't believe me, it's that you don't believe God. Many people don't like that, but it's absolutely true. When your preacher preaches something from the Word of God, and you're like, well, I don't like that, it's not a problem with that person. You have a problem with God. There are some people that say, well, I don't like some of the things that the Word of God has to say. I want you to understand, believe the Word of God. It is the ultimate standard. And if we will believe the revelation we have, we're going to believe Jesus and what He says. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.